Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Welcome everybody to the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast. I am Dale Luganbill. Thank you very much for joining me. Welcome to this week's weekend recap and rant. It's not super crazy. I really only did like one thing. So Saturday went and, that was really announcer-like. So Saturday I went fishing. anyways, my first open water adventure. I joined Joel. Actually, I think it was both of ours first open water adventure of the 2021 season. And so we headed over to Wisconsin, where the bass season is open for catch and release for all those haters out there that like to just peruse social media. And every time somebody's holding a bass, they like to berate them, saying that the season isn't open. Sure wish we could keep the virtue signaling garbage on to politics and keep it out of our fishing and outdoor pages. That'd be great. Huh? We should try that. Maybe we just assume people aren't breaking the law every time you see a picture. It's like people are just waiting to get in a fight. Anyways, should save that for the rant. Let's get back to the recap. Let's do that. So it was nice and warm, 80 degrees, you know, like a week or so ago. And then, yeah, no, when it's time to go fishing, what is it? It's cold, 48 degrees, windy, you know, whatever. Dress for it, it's not so bad. But we didn't catch a lot of fish, but we caught quality fish. So we went out, and I think it was like Joel's second cast. He hooks into a really nice one, and it was over four. And then I don't know, wasn't that many casts later, hooks into another one, another tub, another one over four. So we started, you know, keeping track of them on the Rapala scale there. Starting to get frustrated because I wasn't getting any bites. And then I finally hooked one, and that went, I don't remember. It was three and change, or was it over four? I don't know. I remember contributing one that was over four. And it's like this little tiny spot on this lake that we go to. It's like super tiny. And thankfully, Joel upgraded his boat this year, and he got an Ultrex. So we were able to, for once, hit that magic spot lock button instead of cursing the fishing gods like, oh, if we only had spot lock. Well, we did this time, and I think it helped immensely. Because this is such a spot on the spot, like, boat control is everything. Different angles that you approach it, and just not having to pay attention to boat control. I mean, just that in of itself, you can just cast and pay attention to your retrieve, and it was huge. And because you're basically, we're throwing jigs, and we had to just, like, drag them. And there was rocks down there, and then it would kind of fall off the ledge, and then that's when you would get hit. And Joel was definitely getting bit more than I was. And he was using a heavier jig, though. I was only using like a 3/8 ounce, and he had a 1/2 ounce. And that, I think, actually made a big difference because he was able to maintain connection with the bottom, because it was a pretty steep drop-off. It was dropping off to like, you know, 18, 20 feet, so fairly deep. Some of them were up shallow, but some of them were kind of, you know, right on that transition area. And so when that spot cooled down, then we went and checked some other spots and kind of worked shoreline and some weed patches. And mostly, I think, a jerkbait. We got a few on a jerkbait. I'm trying to remember now. We threw a chatterbait for a while. I don't think we got any fish on that. Threw a spinnerbait for a while. Joel threw a crankbait. He got a couple on the crank, if I'm not mistaken. But for the most part, it was jerkbaits everywhere except for that one spot, which was the jig bite. And, yeah, we fished around the lake and caught, you know, we started to kind of catch a few more, but there were the little ones, you know, 1-pounders, 2-pounders, not adding to our total bag. And then we'd let that spot rest and go back to it. And then we added a couple more big ones. It's like shortly after you get there, it's always like the first few casts, like, boom, you're gonna hook up. And then, so we just kind of kept, we hit it a few times throughout the course of the day, but we'd, you know, let it rest once the bite died down, which, again, like I said, you're only getting like 2 or 3 fish off it at any one stop. But man, did it, it was good to get back on the water, even though it was cold. God, that first bite, and then that hook set, and that rod loading up, and you're just like, oh, there it is. There's that glorious feeling. And when it's a good fish and you feel that rod, oh, God, is there anything better than that? That is so awesome. Like I said, we didn't catch a lot, but we caught quality on that one spot. And had it been a tournament, now granted, it would have been a team effort, not a single person endeavor. But had it been a team, we would have weighed a pretty good bag. We had just under 23 pounds. And we tried. We had one, that fifth fish was just, it's like 3 3/4 pound. And we were really trying to get all top 5 over 4, but couldn't get it done. And the biggest one, we would have been nice to get a 5, but it was 4.98. So as about as close to 5 as you can get without actually being 5. But God, that was, I mean, to start the year off with almost 23 pounds, man, there is nothing better than that. I had brought the panfish rod out, but wasn't sure if we were going to use it, if it was slow. And there was a couple times we went over some pretty good schools of panfish. Pretty sure they were crappies, and I was tempted, but because we were catching those good big bass, I didn't want to. I couldn't drag myself away from that. So that's pretty much all I did this weekend. We thought the weather was going to be even crappier on Sunday, calling for wind and cold, and then so I ended up booking myself to help my daughter out with some household stuff. And then man, the weather really wasn't that bad. I don't know why I put so much faith in the weatherman. They're wrong all the time, so that figures. We should have went fishing again, but didn't. But it was good, though. I got some stuff done that I need to get done. And so we'll just go this weekend. Although I have a club meeting for Loon State Bassmasters on Saturday morning. And then I think the plan is, I hope the plan is, to go bow fishing Saturday night. And then maybe we'll fish Saturday or Sunday morning. So we'll see. I might have a little bit busier recap for next week. However, I do want to make a phone call because somebody else has, like, killer news. Let's ring him up here.
Hello! You've reached David Paycheck Fishing and Outdoors.
No, I didn't.
Sorry, but I'm probably out on the lake catching a bunch of bigs. But please leave your name, number, and a brief message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I'm done reeling in this fish.
Oh, my God, David, that's awesome. All right, I got to try calling him again. It didn't even ring. It went, like, straight to voicemail. So he did a thing recently. All right, he must be on the other line because, like I said, it went straight to voicemail. I thought he picked up that fast. Hold on. Let's try this again. Calling, calling, calling. If it goes straight to voicemail again. All right, here we go. Hello, here we go. He must be on the other line. Flo's phone is just blown up.
Why, hello, Mr. Dale.
What's up, paycheck?
What's going on, dude?
Nothing. This is attempt number two. It went straight to voicemail the first time I called you. So now the whole world knows what your voicemail sounds like.
For real? Are you messing with me or
yeah,
for real?
I'm leaving. That's for real, dude. And I'm leaving.
That's cool. That's cool, dude. I don't know. I didn't get your first call. I don't know what happened.
I was weird. Like, it went straight to voicemail. I mean, didn't ring once. I was like, oh, man, that dude's just sitting at the switch waiting for my call. And then it was your sweet vocal tones just on a recorded message.
A couple of my buddies have called and been like, they thought it was actually me talking to them at first.
Like, oh, that was a thing back when like voicemail was brand new. I'm aging myself, but one of the fun new things to do, and then it got old real quick, was to, you literally go, hello, 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 and then you're like, ah, just kidding. Leave a message at the beep or whatever, and oh god, funny to do, but really irritating when you call somebody else and you just start talking. You're like, hey, what's up, dude? Hey, can you hear me? Hello? Yeah, you can't hear me, and then all of a sudden they go into their message. You're like, oh, you son of a bitch.
I bet you could get away with that nowadays too, Dale.
Oh, you probably could. Maybe I should bring it back. No, I'm not gonna. That's just
no.
Irritating.
You should, dude. No. You should, Dale. You should, Dale. That'd be so funny.
I don't think it's a great way to get clients.
No, probably not.
Piss them off right out of the gate.
Yeah, right.
As you wait to like hour two in the boat before I really start pissing them off. just doing
you don't
my
piss it.
No, just doing my recap here, and went through my boring recap. But you've got some news. You went and did a thing.
Yeah, dude.
Oh no! Hold on. Breaking up.
Won a BFL, dude. Can you believe it?
There it goes. Yeah, you were just breaking up, but
I caught, dude.
You won a BFL.
Yeah, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter where you win one as long as you win one, right?
Yeah, literally. Dude, it was posted on Facebook, and you didn't even call me. You didn't even shoot me a Snapchat, nothing. Like, your biggest fan, biggest supporter, and I had to learn through Facebook that you had won a BFL.
I know. Isn't that crazy, dude? That this little kid from Minnesota packs all of his stuff up and moves down to Florida, and in less than a year, I decide to fish the BFLs for the first time and win one
on Okeechobee.
Yeah, on one of the biggest lakes in the country. Yeah,
dude, mm-hmm. Dude, I saw that. I was like, I just sent you a text or a Snapchat. I can't remember what it was. I was like, what did you do? That was so awesome, dude. I'm super pumped for you. Like, I can't. Well, it's almost like me winning it. Like, I was jacked up when I saw it. I was like, you've got to be shitting me. This is awesome.
I'm the same way with my friends, dude. Like, if they do well, dude, like, I'm super happy for them. My co-anglers, dude, like, my co-angler got a check, too. So, like, that's how I roll, dude. Like, we're all out here to have a bunch of fun and catch some fish. So let's do it, man.
Heck yeah, dude. Walk us through it real quick.
So I had only a couple days of practice. I was going to go down Easter weekend, but plans came up, as most of you guys know, probably. You know, we got things going on around Easter. So I had stuff going on, and I only got Wednesday and Thursday. And I went down there Wednesday and drove around for a little bit. And then I couldn't find anything. And then I pulled into this one little pocket area in the middle of the afternoon and proceeded to catch like a 4 and a 3.5. And then I was like, okay, I'm leaving this area because I don't want to stick them all. And I just kept on pushing further and further and further away from the area. And I just kept on catching fish and caught 21 pounds and two or three different areas, and I was like,
dang. Oh no, dropped call. You've got to be kidding me. Oh, story was just getting good. Hold on, I got to call him back. Oh, that's just ridiculous. I wonder if it's me. I'm down in the cave, but I bet it goes to voicemail. Oh, no, there it goes.
Oh, man, what the heck happened?
I don't know, dude. Damn. Just dropping calls, technical difficulties. It's fine. And we're back. It was just getting good. You were pushing the fish out.
Yeah. I just kept on going out of this little area, and I just kept on fishing. I was like, there's no way they're still in this stuff. There's no way, like, how far out can I push this? Because I want to be able to figure out, you know, like, where it ends for a tournament, so I, like, don't wander around too far or waste time. And I just kept on catching them that afternoon and evening, and proceeded to catch 21 pounds. And I was like, this never happens on the first day of practice. Like, you know, like, and it wasn't even hard. It was literally pretty easy. So then I went into Thursday, and I was like, what am I even going to do? Like, I pretty much got a starting spot. I got a pretty decent sized area. I just went out there, and I milled around even more and just kept on driving around. And then I found one more spot that's kind of in the area, but not really in the area. And it's a little more sneaky. And turns out that spot that I found, that one spot on that whole day on Thursday, turned out to save me, because I only had like two fish at like 10:30 or 11, and we went over to this other area. And then I was able to finish off my limit. I culled a couple times, and then we went back to the original area with only about an hour left. And I was like, okay. I know the bite's slow, but they're good. The sun's got up. We're fishing pretty shallow. So hopefully, you know, just a couple fish moved in here and we can upgrade our bags. And at this time I had maybe, I don't know, I think it must have been, if I'm doing my math right, let's see here, 16 pounds or something, 17 pounds. And I proceeded to catch a 4-pounder, dude, with nice. 10 minutes left to go. So I took my hat off, my glasses off. I laid on the front deck. I just looked up at the sky. Like, I couldn't believe it, dude. It was like so surreal. Like, you don't get many opportunities in this game. I mean, there's only 5 of these a year down here. And this is the 4th one, and I somehow pulled it out of the hat, dude. Like,
that's awesome.
Just epic. Just absolutely epic.
What was your final weight?
20 pounds, 4 ounces.
Nice.
And I had a 7-pounder blow up at me in the morning and just barely missed my bait, and I pulled it away from her.
Oh no.
It was a rookie mistake. Yeah. Like, I was all amped up because of that practice day. And it's like, it's 9:30 and like, I don't got a fish still. And I'm like, man, this never happens. I had missed like 2 other fish prior to that. And I thought I had blown it with that 7-pounder. Just literally, she jumped clear out of the air. There was no water underneath her. I maybe made 1 or 2 cranks, if that, as soon as the bait hit the water, and she just jumped, and I pulled it away from her. Like, but hey, it didn't burn me. Usually, it burns you in these tournaments, especially, you know, when these guys are all local hammers. Like, they all grew up on these different lakes down here, and they know every nook and cranny where there's every 5-pounder, 6-pounder, 7-pounder out there. So
that must have been eating at you though throughout the day, especially when you only had like 2 fish.
It was bothering me for a little bit because the first one that I actually caught was my biggest one of the day. It was like 5.5. I want to say it was maybe 6. And I caught it literally at 9:30, within casting distance of 2 other boats. And they were like, oh, man, we wanted that one. I was like, well, sorry, guys. Like, what's up? Like, we all just were milling around the same area.
Right.
Yeah, and then, like, after that 7-pounder, like, maybe 15 minutes after that fish missed it. And then I lost another one. I was telling my co-angler, like, this never happens to Paycheck. Like, Paycheck fishes, like, super, super, super clean all the time. Like, and that's what you got to do during a tournament in order to do well. But hey, man, like, I don't know. I just try to put it out of my head. Like, I literally just knew it was a slow bite. I knew there was probably enough fish in my areas. I just had to make enough casts. Like, literally just enough flips, enough casts, enough pitches, like, to all the cover in my area. And eventually I was going to run into five decent fish.
And what were you throwing?
I was throwing a swim jig and a flipping jig. I use a swim jig, though, kind of like a flipping jig as well. Just to kind of like keep it simple in my head. I don't need to have a big, huge flipping weight and stuff like that. I literally just use the same bait, man. Like, just keep the rod in your hand. That way you're not switching back and forth all day long. Just keep it simple in your mind, man. That's how I try to do it.
And how are you? So you weren't really working it like a swim jig. You weren't just swimming it back. What were you, dragging it, hopping it?
I was hopping it and dragging it, and I was flipping it. I would say it was mostly casting it, but there was other targets in the area, you know, buggy whips and Kissimmee grass and stuff like that. You could pitch to the edges and stuff. So,
okay.
But most of my fish came on like casting it and kind of getting it way as far away from the boat as possible. I think that was super key. A lot of guys, it seemed like they weren't casting that far away from the boat. And I mean, I'm only fishing in 3.5 feet of water.
Crazy.
And there's a lot of boats around me and stuff like that. So you just, in order to get those fish to bite, I feel like you just got to get your bait a little bit further away from the boat, whether it's making long flips and pitches or long casts. So.
Well, an Okeechobee is so massive, but yet it's relatively shallow. Like, how do you break that lake down?
It's actually more simple than you think. So Okeechobee's super shallow, but there's constantly mud in like the center of the lake, and it's because it's so shallow and there's so much muck that the wind will literally just blow that muck back and forth. So if you have like a tournament out there on a Saturday like we did, and we had a south wind on Thursday and Friday pretty hard out of the south, you pretty much can just write off the whole north end, unless you're fishing like way, way, way back in the stuff, because the wind will blow all the muck that way, and then it'll pull all the clean water out of the stuff on the south end further and further out into the lake. It's really trippy. And then like if you go out there the next day or the day after and you have a north wind, all of a sudden the exact opposite happens. All that water pushes up into the south side and all that mud moves up in there, and then the north end has all that water pull out of the weeds and out of the reeds and the Kissimmee grass, and it all starts clearing up again. And you pretty much just have to find three things. You have to find clear water, hard bottom, and a mix of different weeds. And if you find those three things, you'll catch them.
Is there ever like a mud clear water transition? Like, did they ever use that as like a structure out there? If it's a hard enough line?
Yeah, you probably could. Yeah. I mean, I think if you find one of those three things, you'll find fish. I think if you find two of those three things, you'll find more fish and better fish. And if you find all three, you literally will find something to maybe, you'll be able to find something that wins a BFL. So
what would you know about that?
just a little bit. But it's funny, dude. Like, I didn't think, you wouldn't think that going to Okeechobee or Florida that there's rocks down here like Minnesota. I haven't hit anything on any lake in Florida except for Okeechobee. I hit something last year with my old boat, with my motor and prop, and dinged it up a little bit. And then practicing for this event, I was fishing in my area, and I went to take off, and dude, I took a huge chunk out of my skag. Like,
bro, so now, you just got that boat.
Yeah, got it. But hey, man, like it just confirms exactly what you're looking for down here. That
sure.
That there's rocks and there's gravel bottom. And sand, yeah, and hard bottom in these areas. So, otherwise, you can just stick your tip down in the water too. I do that a lot too.
So, to what is that? So how's that set you up now for season?
It sets me up really, really good. So I was 27th going into this event after three. After I had just gotten 13th at Toho, which was super cool, and then I had an opportunity to win that one. Just needed one more just giant bite. I would have probably won that one too, which would have been absolutely epic. But I was 27th after that one. Now after this one, I'm ninth, but it technically doesn't even matter because the winners get to fish the regional. So the five winners and the top 45 guys in points after the season ends are the guys that get to go fish the regionals. And our regional is Choo Choo, Gator, Bulldog, and then another one. And it just happens to be 30 minutes down the road on the St. John's River in October. So
nice.
I haven't spent one day on there yet, but hey, man, I only spent 2 days this year on Okeechobee, and I won the BFL. But
well, and it's not. What did you say? It's in October.
It's in October, yeah, and well, so, I mean
you got, not only do you got plenty of time, but whatever bite you found today ain't gonna make
ain't
much
gonna
difference
really
in October.
No. I'm just literally gonna spend countless nights scanning that river up and down,
sure,
looking for anything that I can to try to win that thing. Because if I win that thing, man, I get another one of these sweet silver trophies, and I get a brand new Phoenix. So
woo!
What's Paycheck gonna do? He'll have three bass boats sitting in the driveway.
Bro, I have a birthday coming up. Just saying.
I'll probably have to give you my. I don't know. I'll probably have to give you the Phoenix because I don't know that I want to get rid of this nice Ranger. It's a pretty lucky Ranger. The owner I bought it from is from Iowa, and the only reason he sold this Ranger to me last year was he won a boat out of this boat. So
that would be a winning boat.
That would be pretty cool, dude. So you might get a brand new Phoenix this October.
Yeah. Well, now I really got a pull for you. Not that I wouldn't be, I wasn't anyways, but that's awesome, dude. Just everything, your story right now just makes me smile that you pulled up, chased your dream, went down there. You set a goal to do well in the BFL to make the regionals. You've done that. You won one. You've done that. And you're.
Yep.
It seems like your guide service is popping off. I'm seeing more and more pictures of people catching their PBs down there with the old Captain Paycheck, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, dude. I'm pretty sure I'm batting 1,000 for PBs for getting guys their PBs down here. It's pretty cool. Guys are catching sevens and eights and just having a ball, dude, and that's really what it's all about. Like, just coming down to Florida and being able to fish and have the opportunity to be able to catch a fish of a lifetime. So
yeah, definitely need to get down there and get one of them Florida strains under my belt for sure.
Dude, I'll find a sneaky lake down here where there's a good chance that we can catch one around 10.
Oh.
And that would just be sick. So
that would be extremely sick. Have you stuck one yet down there?
I got my personal best the week before the Toho BFL, and that's actually how I found that area. I was like, shoot, there's an 810 around here. Okay, let me see what else is around here. And that's how I found the spot. Yep. And no, it was not on a shiner. I did not catch my personal best on a shiner.
That's right, because what a lot of guys use, like guides down there, using on Okeechobee, isn't it? Big giant shiners.
Yep. Yeah, guys will use shiners. I'll throw shiners when I got a guide trip just because it helps, you know, keep the fish, you know, keeps the rod bends and stuff like that.
Yep,
so, and then I'll just have clients fish with artificials. So, but yeah, man, it's cool. 8-10. I'm shooting for that 10. I'll probably get one around 10.
Oh, you'll get it eventually, sometime. For sure. You put enough time down there. And that's kind of the other thing, too. Everybody's like, oh, go down to Okeechobee and catch a 10-pounder. Because it's that easy. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, they have them, but it isn't like you're, you know, catching bluegills off a dock or something. Like, it's still a feat to get even down there to finally get one that's in the double digits. So,
I bet, Dale, in every little retention pond down here, I bet there's an 8-plus pound fish. But, I mean, they're not that common as people probably think they are.
Yeah.
It's so much easier in Minnesota to just literally pick a shoreline. You can catch 2-pounders all day long. It's not like that in Florida. They're in very, very specific areas, and you could easily go out there without a guide and blank. But that's why there's so many guides down here, you know.
Right.
Like, you just hire a guide for a few hours. You'll figure out kind of what to do, and then next time you come down here with your own boat, then it's not that big of a deal anymore. But it's definitely a foreign type of fishing because all the lakes are under 15 feet of water. There's grass that grows in the middle of the lakes. It grows randomly. Like, it's hydrilla, which is nothing that nobody fishes up in Minnesota. So it's completely different, but I'm getting used to it now.
Those big floating mats, the hydrilla.
Yeah. Those are hyacinth. There is floating. Yeah. Hyacinth. Yeah. They got little like flowers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you hear about guys punching, that's what they're punching. Yeah, that bite pretty much is done now, though. That's pretty much like a winter bite where, like, the sun will, like, beat those mats up a little bit. Like, they'll warm them up. They'll warm all that muck up, and then those fish will sit right underneath there. But, shoot, man, we've already had, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 90-degree-plus days already. Like, it's going to get hot here in the next month.
Yeah.
But it's all good, dude. I can catch a 10-pounder in the middle of a 90-degree day. And it'll make me happy. I don't care.
Yeah, well, it should. Dude, that's awesome. So, I'm super stoked for you, dude. That trophy looks nice.
Thank you so much, man.
I'm going to wait all the way to October to see how you're going to do that. That part kind of sucks, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've contemplated actually going up and fishing another BFL in another division. Or maybe next year. If I time it right, I didn't time it right this year. I think I can actually work it to where I fish two BFL divisions, but fish another one that's not in my regional. So then you can qualify for two different regions.
Okay.
So if you do that, then you have an actually opportunity at getting two different boats.
you're gonna have to get a garage.
How crazy would that be?
That would be pretty crazy.
A garage, Dale. I'll have to get a pole barn.
You gotta get a boat garage. Six-stall boat garage.
Yeah, six-stall. Come on over. Dave's full-service guide service. Like,
that's awesome.
We got a boat for everybody.
That's awesome.
Oh, shit, dude.
Oh, man, I bet you're stoked. I'm super stoked for you. Like, that was awesome.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. I mean, it's a cool feather in my cap to be able to come down here and just beat these guys, man. Like, these guys are so, so good. These guys have literally fished these lakes their entire life, and I haven't even been here a full year, and somehow I was able to do it. So,
well, I know you're going to work your ass off and just be the hardest working one on the water down there, and hopefully you get that Phoenix, man. That'd be awesome. Get on that national stage. Just don't forget us little guys.
No, I won't forget any one of you guys. You guys are all my buddies. You're more than welcome to jump in my boat, like, anytime. Like, I appreciate all the support that everybody's given me. I don't know if you've seen that post on Minnesota Bass.
Yep, I've been watching it.
There's over like 100 comments on it now, and I'll make an official post, I think, tomorrow. I've been just kind of relaxing and kind of enjoying it just myself.
Nothing wrong with that, dude. Soak it in.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So thank you so much, Dale. Yeah. I really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And might happen. I might see you sooner than later. We'll see. Trying to put some stuff together. So
if anybody wants to contact me, it's on my Instagram, David Paycheck Fishing, or Facebook, David Paycheck Fishing. So
do it. Go catch a PB.
Awesome. They will.
It snowed today up here, David.
It did not, dude.
It was snowing today.
It was 90 degrees here today, dude.
Yeah. So anybody who's pissed off for the fact that it was snowing today, just take a break.
Call me up.
Yeah, go down there. Go fishing with Paycheck. Get her done.
A blast. We'll have a blast. We'll just – yeah, you're going to be down here in a couple months, dude. Come down to ICAST, dude. Come down to ICAST.
Oh, if they have it. If they have it, I'm coming for sure.
I think there's going to be a good chance they'll have it, so.
I totally actually forgot about that. Well, let me know. If you hear anything before I hear anything, let me know, because for sure.
Okay. I'll call a few guys, local guys here that have gone to ICAST a bunch of times. I'll give them a call and see what's up, because, dude, ICAST is the deal, dude. ICAST is so cool. Like, it's literally all the industry companies and, you know, all the brand new products, and you'll be able to vote on them and see them before anybody else. Like, it's seriously
line up podcast guests like crazy.
Dude, you could. No joke. You could literally just go to like all these companies and be like, hey, you want to talk about your new bait?
Yeah.
I got a podcast. Like, let's do it. Every day of the show, all 3 days, you just line up a bunch of podcasts and just pump them out.
That'd be sick.
We'll have a blast.
Hell yeah, dude.
Okay, man. I'm waiting, dude. July, dude. July 9th, bro.
Is that when it is?
He's penciling it in right now.
Ooh, I need to. I need to make sure I block that off just in case.
I don't know the exact date. I just know it's around my birthday.
Okay, it's right around that time.
My birthday is July 9th, so I know it's going to be around there. So
right on, dude. Awesome.
But
cool, dude.
Thank you so much for having me on. Yeah,
appreciate you. Hey, you're the first person I've had live on my recap.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
I don't usually put people on the recap. It's just usually me doing a solo episode, just kind of keeping everybody caught up to what's going on in the outdoor world. But I just felt this was too good of an opportunity to just
I still have other tournaments too, not just in October. I have I'm also fishing the pro-ams, Florida pro-ams, to try to make the Florida state team. So which would be just like absolutely amazing, because I don't know how many guys have not only made the Minnesota state team, but made the Florida state team.
Well, keep me updated, and I'll keep everybody else updated. Well, you keep having success, I'll keep having you on. How about that?
Okay, well, I think I'll be on a bunch.
I love it. All right. It's going to be the Dale and Paycheck show in no time.
Yeah, dude. we actually could call it Double D, bro.
There you go.
The Double D show.
We'll get a lot more subscribers. They might be disappointed once they find out what it's about, but we'll get that one click anyways.
Heck yeah, dude. Heck yeah. Millions and millions of clicks.
That's what it's about, dude.
Awesome. Thank you again so much, seriously, for all your support, dude. Like, it means the world to me. So
you got it, man. I'm having fun watching you. So
if you ever need anything, you got my number. Just give me a holler. I got you, bro.
Same. Right back at you, buddy.
Cool. Thanks again.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
We'll talk to you.
Talk to you later, Dale.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
That is so freaking awesome. I'm so happy for that dude. If you guys aren't super familiar with like his story, he's been on the podcast a couple times. Recently, actually, not even that long ago, I had him on. So you can go back and into the archives there, the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast archives, and pull up those episodes and get caught up. But it's a great dude. I'm so happy that he is having some success down there. And how killer would that be to see him win a boat? God, that would be cool. Ugh. I'm going to have to like watch that one live if I could. I don't even know if that's possible, but that would be... that'd be super sick. So, well, there's your recap. Mine wasn't nearly as exciting as Paychecks, but, man, I don't even really want to go on a rant right now. Like, I'm just in a good mood. I feel like a rant's going to put me in a bad mood. So, you know what? I think I'm going to skip it. I'll just say this. Like, let's try not to be douchebags to each other. Like, I started a rant to start this. You know, like, when you see somebody holding up a fish on a Facebook post, instead of assuming they're doing something wrong, how about you just congratulate him? Nice fish. That's it. You don't need to be a dick, you know? Hey, season's not open yet. You don't know where he's fishing, bro. Just assume he's not breaking the law. How about that? We got, let the DNR do their job. You just look at fish pictures and don't be a douchebag. So that's, that's all I got for you as far as my rant goes. Well, one word of caution, though, as spring is... slowly creeping its way northwards. Like I said, we just had a snow today here in Minnesota. Thankfully, it wasn't sticking, but I have found some ticks on me already, and ticks are a real deal. Those deer ticks, that Lyme disease, is a real deal. Both my dogs have had it now. I've had it. It is not fun, and I mean, my dog right now is currently... she's in renal failure. Her kidney's only working about 25%, and they're pretty sure it's due to undiagnosed Lyme disease. So used to permethrin however you say that word, stuff with DEET, spray your boots, your pant legs. Turkey season here starts in Minnesota. Like, as you're listening to this, it will have started. So yeah, take precautions. That Lyme Z is a real deal. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So there's a mini rant and a tip for you. Word of caution. So with that, I'm going to leave you guys. Got a Waterfall Wednesday coming up. It's almost like double Waterfall week because the main episode Thursday is going to be with Mr. Joe Heintz. So stay tuned for that one. And then we'll roll back into the weekend, which I'm looking forward to. It got kind of a busy weekend coming up. So everybody be safe out there. Show me your fish pictures. Show me your turkey pictures. Jump on that Facebook Full Scale Outdoors group page or just send it to my page. Tag me in it, whatever. Instagram, whatever. I want to see it. I want to hear about it. So I'm going to leave you with this. And you already know what I'm going to say. Whatever your passion, pursue it full scale.